This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
92.9 Podcasts, powered by Action 24/7, Tennessee's only local legal sportsbook. Bet now at action247.com.
Jeff Calkins is the host of the Jeff Calkins Show, sports columnist over at the Daily Memphian, and he is on demand today. He joins us now. Jeff, do you ever think there will be a bigger star than Michael Jackson?
Am I talking to the commissioner?
Yes, you're talking to the commissioner. That's exactly right. And that's how I want to be referred to heretofore.
That was tremendous radio. Tremendous radio. And if you keep coming up with hilarious spots,
God,
that I can play on my show the next day, that would be great. You know, a rising tide lifts all boats. Was absolutely hilarious.
Yeah.
I just wanted to replay that over and over again, basically for my entire show.
Well, appreciate the kind words.
Once, and then I had, I had requests to play it again. Bigger
really?
Star.
You had more. Well, I want to focus
someone
on
play
this.
It again. Well, Jarvis actually. Jarvis, avid listener to my show. I don't know about your show, but Jarvis was he texted me and said, "Play it again." I didn't. I didn't play
Thank
it again.
You.
But I could have. Bigger star than Michael Jackson. Elvis was pretty big, wasn't he?
Well, yeah, but he was kind of before Michael Jackson, know what
the
I'm saying?
The Beatles were pretty big, pretty, right?
Yep.
Bigger than, I mean, it's tougher now because the world is so splintered, right? We all listen to different things. We all have different channels. So I don't know. Why did you come upon this question?
Well, it's just a debate. It's a debate going on social media today. It just kind of came through my feed, and I was just wondering if you had an opinion on it.
And me, as an authority on pop culture, you decided that
100%.
I'd be the one to ask? Yeah. Yeah. No, I think I don't think that's my area of expertise. But I appreciate you asking my opinion on that. I was known to, yeah, back then we called them mixers. I'd go to a mixer at Wellesley College. And basically when the Off the Wall album came out. So I'd be out there, and you can only imagine what it looked like. Me shaking it to Off the Wall, asking young Kate Donovan to dance at Wellesley College. And it was really quite the scene. Woo! Isn't that how it went, that song? You know, it had a woo in it. He said, Off the Wall.
I think that's exactly how it went, Jeff. And I can picture you dancing.
I have no idea. You're regretting the on-demand request even as we speak.
Nope. Will not regret it. And for this reason, because of the following, your answer to this is now that they've knocked off Mississippi State, right, got a big one with UTSA coming, have you started talking yourself into, well, this is going to be a better season than maybe we all thought it was going to be. Maybe they'll be opposite Cincinnati in an AAC title game. How are you feeling about that Memphis football team and what it can do this season?
Well, I think in a way it already is a better season than what we thought, right?
Mm-hmm.
It has already given you, I believe, one of the five most entertaining, memorable Memphis Tiger football games that I can remember. And that to me is, I forgot who it was, one of our loyal listeners tweeted out, I don't know if Memphis is ever going to win a national championship, but that day, Saturday, is why you follow the team. Like, that's what it's all about. It doesn't have to be leading up to a national championship or anything else. It just was a spectacular, wonderful, fun day that just like I don't think it. I don't think it's up there with the game day day in terms of the whole experience. But you know, there's not many others that were bigger. Maybe the original, maybe the Paxton Lynch Ole Miss game. Like, there's very few. The Cotton Bowl, in a different kind of a way. The first trip to New Orleans, but it's certainly you know, there's not that many. And so, in a way, for it to have already given us that experience and the way it played out, honestly, I think the fact, not only is it not tainted, the fact that it occurred the way it did with that play, if Memphis had just beaten them, let's just say straight up beaten them 21-7, right, or 28-14, I don't think would be as much fun as the way they won it. I think the way they won it, with the controversy, and you know, you're able to play the "it's my party, I'll cry if I want to" and all of this, I actually think it added to the whole experience. And so it already gave us that. In terms of going forward, obviously peril lurks, right? I mean, you can absolutely imagine a world in which they lose to Texas San Antonio, because it's not a bad team that just, you know, beat Illinois, as we know. But sure, I think that combined with, you know, the injury and, you know, UCF has missed a quarterback.
Right.
And I think you can absolutely think, okay, if things go the right way, you can find yourself in a AAC championship game. And then I think you can think, you know what, that's just a game. You know, it's just one game. And Cincinnati's really good, but Cincinnati's not some Death Star. And if Seth Hennigan, by then, he plays Cincinnati, he'll have had a whole season under his belt at that point. So, like, that's not – Cincinnati's not a team that is going to, you know, put up 56 on you or something. And so, can't you beat Cincinnati? I think you can talk yourself into – dreaming as big as you want, with the understanding that there's also, listen, I can imagine them losing to Tulsa. I can imagine them losing to SMU. SMU got a transfer quarterback who looks like he's really good. I can, you know, there's a lot of games here that you can imagine them losing, but nothing that scares you. Like, what scares you? What's the game you can say, yeah, they can't win that one?
I don't think there's a game on the schedule.
Not one left. No.
I mean, because they don't.
Or you say no way.
Yeah.
No. So I think you can dream as big as you want. And the fact that you have that on top of what the expectations and hopes are for Mass Tiger basketball, and on top of what I think everyone thinks is going to be another leap forward for Ja and for Jaren and whatever else, I think it's a pretty fine day to be a Memphis sports fan.
What do you say to the people that push back on, you know, the win not being a quote unquote signature one for Ryan Silverfield, because it's not a particularly great Mississippi State team?
Oh, it wouldn't be a signature. It's just silly. It isn't a signature win for Alabama. Like, if he was coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide, but any win over a Power 5 team that isn't Kansas, like, I think who beat Kansas? Mike Norvell beat Kansas twice, or did Fuente? Like, I don't think we get to count Kansas. Like, that's maybe one Power 5 team. Maybe if you play Vanderbilt, and, you know, that doesn't count as a – but I think beating any other Power 5 team is a signature win. You hadn't beaten Mississippi State, and Mississippi State has almost never been at the top of the SEC. You hadn't beaten Mississippi State since the early 90s. So, yes, anytime you beat Mississippi State, it's a signature win. You're an underdog, and so you're not sitting here with analytics measuring the quality of Mississippi State. It's the label. It's the Power 5 aspect of it. It's the size of the crowd. It's all of the fact that you're an underdog. It's the fact that you've extended your winning streak at home to 17 flipping games in a row. Clearly, this is a signature win. I don't think there's any question about that. I don't. And you, by the way, doing it with a freshman quarterback. Like, that's nuts. They beat Mississippi, beat a Power 5 team with a freshman quarterback.
Any part of you worried about that other side of success that freshman quarterback, if he continues to excel, could get plucked by a Power 5, maybe from Texas or something that needs a quarterback? Like, I guess if you're Memphis, you can't. You just roll along with what you had. Well, but we haven't been in that spot before.
Yeah, it's a new dynamic. Yeah. There's no question it's a new dynamic. And it's the flip side of, well, it's just like any time Memphis has success in football, you start worrying about, oh, this is great. Are we going to lose our coach, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And now, given the transfer portal and you can play immediately, that is always going to be a concern. It is funny how it works, though, because when you see him look like a freshman quarterback, like he did against Mississippi State. Listen, he came back and he made some good throws that on that 98-yard drive.
Yep.
But he didn't, like, on that day, he didn't look like a quarterback that if you're over there at wherever, Texas or Texas A&M or Tennessee or wherever else, he didn't look like a quarterback. You say, boy, that's the answer to all of our problems when he went against a lower-level SEC team. Now, I think – you know, he's a true freshman. If you look back at what Matt Corral did as a true freshman, he got his first start against Memphis. He was god awful.
I can't believe it's the same guy. Like it's almost hard to believe.
Was so bad against, but I think that's to be expected. It's just like it's no different than the Peyton Manning who was a rookie setting an NFL record with interceptions, and the Peyton Manning who was a Hall of Famer. Look, that is what you should expect of a true freshman quarterback. He was playing high school football against players who are just, you know, they're just studying economics or biology now, and they're not playing anything. You know, they might be playing intramural basketball. A lot of the kids he was throwing touchdown passes against in Texas. Well, now he's playing against Mississippi State, for God's sakes. And so I think you should expect that someone, you know, that it's a rough start. And Matt Corral is a perfect example. Same dude, maybe the best quarterback in the country right now, against Memphis was he couldn't do anything. And so the fact that Seth Hennigan is as good as he is really pretty astonishing. Like, I know there's this slot that, listen, the cornerback from White Station, pride of White Station. You guys are both White Station graduates.
And I'm hearing there's a, by the way, I'm hearing there's a quarterback at White Station who's just a monster. I don't know his name.
The transfer from Barkers?
Oh, I do know exactly
Raglan?
Who it is. Yes. Yeah. My apologies. Yes. White Station football is back to its glory days. But go ahead, continue.
But anyway, so people, there's no question the most surprising freshman at Memphis is Seth Hennigan. It's just like the fact that he's doing what he's doing as a freshman. 5 touchdowns last week. And Mississippi State this week, come on, man. Like, that's nuts what he is doing. And I continue to believe he's going to be really good. I think last week he had his struggles. But I think, John, you remember back to our first radio show ever. How was that?
Well, one of our first, I think our first one was fine, but one of our first was a disaster.
Which was that one?
That was the one where we were down there at FedEx Forum for AAC Media Day. You put me in a tough spot, man. I was 23 years old. I didn't know what segment you were going to be doing. You didn't know what segment you were going to be doing. You threw me to the wolves, and I got devoured.
We used to have this bit at the end, like, what are you going to have for lunch today?
It was a stupid bit.
It was a stupid bit. Like, how do we tell people what to have for lunch
every day? You know, I just demanded.
Of mentioning a business that was not only not one of our advertisers, but competed against one of our advertisers. And Brad just like, come on, 5 minutes before. We just want to say, et cetera. So I don't even think, you know, for Seth Hennigan, you wouldn't even been going to be.
No, Seth Hennigan hasn't done anything that poorly yet.
He hasn't done anything that.
Yeah.
So I really do think it's, you know, you gotta really enjoy what has happened. And then Calvin Austin, that's crazy. One of my favorite parts of your bit yesterday was when Jason said, and a walk-on.
That was not Jason.
Not me.
No, Mark Womack.
That was Mark Goforth.
Mark Goforth.
Yeah. CFO of the SEC. I'm not sure why people think that was me and Jason. It just happened on our show.
He got kind of riled up, yeah.
He was fired up.
Do you know where people could get a hold of this little bit?
Which was all over Twitter. We posted it on the website.
Really?
Yeah,
go to 929ESPN.com.
Yeah. listen to it again. Keep playing it on a retreat. Anytime you're having a bad moment during the course of your day, just listen to that SEC call.
I'll play the promo next, too. I'll play the promo of it, yeah.
It's the best thing we've ever done, or that Greg and Mark have ever done.
It's up there. You know, Tekken Olympics can be really good.
Yep.
You know, Tekken Olympics can be really good.
The phone is not good, I'll tell you that.
He sounds like the computer in War Games.
Yeah, we're going to check your phone after this, okay? Yeah.
Thank you for this, Jeff.
But you know what? You battled. You battled today.
Good try.
I battled through it. That's the thing. We got to the end.
More like we battled through it. Yeah.
No.
All right, well, we appreciate it, Jeff.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Jeff.
See you guys. Bye.
The computer for more games. I like that.
Yep.
I enjoy that. But appreciate Jeff for coming on the show too.
It's fantastic.
Day, yeah. We'll
Whatever
come back.
Day you get him.
Yep, exactly right. And he's on demand. That's the great thing about it.
Appreciate it.
We'll come back. Lots more to come here on the show. Stick around. Jason and John, 93 FM, ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
All right. Interesting piece over at the Commercial Appeal. I thought so, at least, because the new strength coach over at Memphis, and we touched on it, but we didn't spend a great deal of time on it, Rob Hornet, who came from most recently St. Louis, I believe it was, but does have some NBA background in him, goes right along with what Penny is selling over at Memphis, and it's with his staff, NBA-oriented staff, obviously. And a piece by Jason Munns of the Commercial Appeal talks to Rob Hornet about a small breakdown, at least from a standpoint of athletically and physically, of each player on the team. Thought it was interesting. Anybody you're extra interested in before I start here, or should I just go down the list, John,
just
in order?
Kick it off.
Again, this is Jason Munns. You can read it over at thecommercialappeal.com. I thought some interesting little tidbits here. First player he breaks down, Earl Timberlake. I'll read you what he said. Unbelievable person, hard worker, does everything you ask. He's going to be a special, special player. Used two specials there. Moves well, knows how to move through space, strong as an ox. Doesn't say anything about the shoulder, so that's probably a good sign.
For sure.
I'm not sure that you would necessarily, right, though, in this spot, but hearing strong as an ox, I like that for a guy who couldn't at one point lift his arm above his head. Last year, dealing with this shoulder injury over Miami that limited him to 7 games. So that's good to hear.
Yep, that's a good sign.
Remember, Earl Timberlake, a projected right now first-round draft pick. We're wondering, okay, you're going to be a starter? You're going to be coming off the bench? We'll figure it out later. Alex Lomax says what I think most of us would expect to hear about Alex Lomax. One of the vocal leaders. He's one person I've leaned toward when I need something said to the guys. Jives with a lot of what we know about A-Lo. Landers Nolly, a very impressive mover. Notice he uses that word a couple of times here. You'll hear it again, mover. He has impressed me with his attitude day in and day out, with how he goes about his training. Doesn't make excuses. He's 205, talking about his weight, obviously. I think that's a good weight for him. Landers, along with Jaden Hardaway and Alex, have been expedited through the basic math faster. They're the older heads that I trust. All right? Chandler Lawson, who this article starts with, mentions how long he is. We're speaking of his wingspan and everything else. Chandler Lawson, now 6'8", with a wingspan of 7'9", who Hornet points out that's essentially unheard of to have that kind of wingspan on that length. Here's what he says, freakishly long. Both Lawson guys are unbelievable. Good attitude. I'm trying to get him to gain a little bit more weight. I've been giving him two nutrition shakes after lifts and two more after practices, but very versatile for us. He could play anywhere from the 3 to 5, speaking of Chandler Lawson, who's the transfer from Oregon. Now, younger brother Jonathan, bright, bright future. He's got a 7'1 wingspan at 6'5 and moves really well. I thought Jonathan was taller than 6'5. That was news to me that he's 6'5". Completely different player than Chandler, but like his brother, needs to gain weight. He was 175 pounds when he came in the door. Need to get him up to 190, 195 by the end of the year, just trying to build strength with him.
That's a lot. I mean, that's a lofty goal. I mean, 20 pounds, it's a lot.
On that frame.
Yeah.
Super,
I mean,
skinny.
Yeah, I mean, that's how, you know, I guess you say Diedrich, you know, had a sort of a thicker frame than
yes.
the others.
His two nutrition shakes before and then two after.
Now, that's for Chandler.
Yeah.
I'd imagine Jonathan's doing the same thing, though.
Because that kind of regimen will put it on, man.
Because Chandler's already been in that weight program in Oregon.
Correct.
And he looks it. Like, he's
Damn.
Put on some weight. But clearly, Hornet wants more
he's
on
good
him.
At this.
And then with Lawson, it's the same story, it may even more so. So I'm imagining he's on the shakes as well, even though that was.
I need one of those shakes.
John Camden, type A personality, one of the first ones in every day, wants to know why we're doing what we're doing, extremely mature. Sounds like John, you know, questioning everything.
Why are we doing this?
Lester Quinones. In my eyes, and I think this is an interesting one, I think Lester's probably one of the best movers on the team. There's that term again.
Lester.
A mover, yes. Raw athlete. If I have to demonstrate something and the guys want to see someone more athletic do it, he's the one I pick
for
that.
Wow. You guys are on this.
John's been on it. John wrote about this.
Well, he slimmed up, and I think, you know,
it's made him one of the more athletic players on the team.
You love his ceiling, though. I mean,
I do.
Yeah.
I really do. I think that's what this offseason has sort of proven about Lester Quinones, is that, like, he can really be a leader for this team.
I mean, he's backing up what you're saying when he says that, look, if I'm looking for somebody athletic to do it, now I go to Lester. So apparently he's moved up the ranks in terms of his athletic ability with that weight loss. Here's the part I expected to hear about Lester Quinones. Unbelievable competitor on the court and in the weight room. Best ping pong player on the team.
That's why.
A little extra fact
that's
for you.
That's why.
Hornet threw in there.
Lester,
as
the best ping pong player on the team, this dude is not coming off the bench.
No.
When you're the best ping pong player on the team, you do not come off the bench. That's just the way it goes. So
you're the best one-on-one defender on the
team. I know there was a little, like, hubbub about Lester coming off the bench. I can't remember at this point where it started. Like, forget that dream, man. Like, if you think Lester's coming off the bench, you got to get with reality.
Borzello or Bossy?
It was one of
those.
I think it might have been Borzello. But, like, you're not tuned in, man. You know, you're not. And I get why he's saying that, because it's just easier because Landers and Earl. So you just play both of those guys. But Lester Quinones, as we talked about last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was, he has the trust not just of Penny now, but the entire damn staff, the entire program. He's an example setter, you know. He's a tone setter. If it's defense, if it's athleticism, and that goes for Penny all the way down to the strength coach. You know, this is like nothing that we are hearing coming out of Memphis basketball suggests anything other than Lester is going to continue to start for this basketball team.
I would agree with that.
And so, breaking news, you can attribute it to me. Lester Quinones is going to be starting for this friggin' basketball team.
John says Lester will start Penny's most trusted player. He's awesome and best ping pong player on the team.
He is awesome.
Out by Robert.
He is awesome.
Anything else about Lester? Any more flowers for him before I move on?
No, although 2 years ago, his father had an RV. Lester Quinones Sr. had an RV and traveled to every away game.
That's kind of cool.
Had an RV, had a whole thing.
I hope I'm able
Very
to do
cool.
that.
Very cool. Yeah.
I hope I'm able to do that as a father.
Yeah.
Following around my son.
Well, you certainly don't need to be missing any shows.
Taekwondo events.
You can make a couple a year, certainly.
We'll get you a setup in that RV.
Moving up, funny guys, with Rob Hornet here. Speaking of DeAndre Williams now, he drives the energy bus for the team.
Oh, the energy bus.
Again,
I remember that book.
This is at commercialappeal.com, which apparently we haven't. John has learned nothing yet. He knew all of this already.
This is all old news to him. How dare he print?
I'm going to see if I can find something he didn't know. I don't know, Munsey. You got a hard time being closer to it than John Martin. We'll see if he tells us anything we didn't know about DeAndre. He drives the energy bus for the team. We just need him to be that every single day. He brings the fun, but it's not time. It's not wasting time. Fun. My thing is just to keep him as healthy as possible. Yeah, we want him to have a successful season, a successful career after that. He will play at the next level.
No, it's interesting because it's actually, you know, the guy, you know, Munn's got the guy on the record. You know, I mean, that's the interesting part about it, right? Like, you get the strength coach sort of on the record talking about these guys.
You know how you do that. You do a feature with the strength coach, and then you have him say something about every guy on the team. So then you got two pieces, John, that both get clicks.
Yep, absolutely.
Oh, we know what Munn's is up to, don't we?
Yep.
Yes, we do.
We see through this.
Josh Minot. I think you'll find this interesting. High flyer. Mm. Very, very, very ultra athletic. That's three varies. He surprised me with his upper body strength. Very type A personality. I put him and Camden in the same boat, and because of that, I put them on opposite ends of the weight room. They're both very analytically driven. He's going to surprise a lot of people. I call him Bambi because he looks like a baby deer sometimes. Just saw one of those in Cordova, by the way. Oh. We need to get a little weight on him.
He needs to get weight on everybody.
Minot showed that in that Iverson Classic mm-hmm. thing. He shined with some of the best prospects in the country. I think Hornet is exactly right. Folks going to be surprised.
Sick
by
athlete,
him.
Huh?
The folks that are underestimating him are going to be surprised. I think he's a contributor somehow instilled in year one. Now, again, as much of a contributor as Nolly or Timberlake or Lester, no. But I think early on we see, because I think they know, too, what they've got in Minot, and this is a guy you want back. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, incorporating him, and it'll be worth it if he's as athletic and as good as everybody says. Having him involved helps you, too, down the line. You want to keep a guy like Josh Minot around, sounds like me. Remember, who was it that said Josh Minot a pro when we started doing those early Minot
Yoda?
Talks after the commitment?
Was it Yoda?
Somebody we trusted, I thought.
I don't know.
But liked it. It's talked about before he even rose, rose in the rankings.
Huh. Minot's
got
possible.
A chance.
So
Minot's
like
Minot's
a cat who will be in the dunk contest at Memphis Madness.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about it now.
All right.
And he was catching putback dunks in that Iverson Classic again.
Wow.
That was against some of the best players in the country. He stood out. Malcolm Dandridge, one of the strongest individuals on the team, has the capability to have a long, successful professional career. I think if he just buys in and continues to get better. Yeah. That is interesting. He has the capability to have a long, successful professional career, I think, if he just buys in and continues to get better. Man, that's been the knock on Malcolm this whole time.
Yeah.
And here you got a guy that's new to the program and new to being around Malcolm saying the exact same thing, that with him it's about buy in and realizing, look, it's a role for you.
Yeah.
Fill it, and you'll get where you're supposed to go.
Well, one of the things I always heard, that story has not changed.
You know,
bro?
One of the things I always heard about Malcolm is that he thinks he is – Kevin Durant and should have a role like Kevin Durant. You know, he has just been really resistant to sort of fitting in that box of big man, rebound the ball, play hard defense, score in the low post. Like, that's not. And I get it, because if you look at the NBA today, how many guys like at his height are doing that? Like, you know, a lot of guys, whether it's KD, you know, Giannis, et cetera, like, you have the ball in your hand, you're supposed to score, supposed to do a lot of different things. And he wants to do that. But it's also like, you're Malcolm Dandridge, like there, Kevin Durant and Giannis, et cetera. So, yeah, I definitely – that has been, like you said, the knock. He had flashes, I thought, especially that first game against Houston when he had to play because of foul trouble. I actually think like he can be a valuable contributor on this team if he embraces that.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is going to be I just don't know if he will.
I think it's not a good sign that we're still having this conversation about him, because it seems like the same conversation we've had the last couple of offseason, or at least last offseason, too.
Well, and there was a thought that if Musa had not transferred, he would have, right? Like, Musa leaving sort of was like, all right, there's a chance for me here.
And
then they go out and get Durant. Right. If he'd have known that they were going out and getting Durant,
and Chandler, too, right?
Exactly.
In a way, even though he's your former teammate.
Yeah, but you're still, even with Chandler, though, that's still only three, though. You know, right, with him, DeAndre, and Chandler. So you still feel like you're going to get big minutes.
That's true.
Then you go out and get – nobody, when all that was going down, had any inkling, any idea that Jalen Durant was going to be part of the roster.
Right.
So now it's like I'm assuming it's just boiling over again for Malcolm, and we'll see what happens. But I hope it works out, because, I always hope it works out for the Memphis kids, you know?
Right. Sam Anu, he's got a long ways to go. He's got the physical qualities, but a long way to go from a developmental standpoint. Again, this is over the commercial appeal. Jason Munns spoke to Rob Hornet about every Tigers player. I'm very transparent with him on this. It's just a longer learning curve for him. We're speaking of the freshman, Sam Anu. He had his best day recently, so for him, it's what he can do. It's what can he do to get better every day. So sounds like Sam's got a long way to go, and I think we were all on that train already that's going to be tough for him to be a contributor here, or at least a significant one in his first season. All right, last two now, the last two pieces that Penny Hardaway got to make it the number one signing class in America in 2021. Jalen Duren says quite a bit about him. Here we go. He's 6'11 with shoes and weighs 245 to 250 pounds. That's where he needs to be. I don't want him any bigger, especially with the style of player he is. He's not a traditional back-to-the-basket guy. He will get there faster than any of the freshmen, but he still has some foundational things to work on. My biggest example for him is when you saw Dwight Howard coming out of high school. Very similar body type.
Wow. That's very interesting. So that's add that to the list of comps that we have heard for Jalen Duren. Larry Brown said Sean Kemp.
I don't think his – whatever it is that Musa gets to the – and I use Musa because he reclassified as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's junior, reclassified, you come out – but there was clearly for him – and we said he's an athletic guy. There was a big-time transition period for him playing against – stronger, bigger guy.
Absolutely.
That I don't feel like is going to be, you know, as much of an issue for Jalen Duren.
Agreed. I agree with that.
This is a man at 17.
Yeah, and I think you're going to be a lot more comfortable throwing it into him. I mean, Musa was just a raw athlete, right? Like who you hoped that athleticism would translate immediately. And in some ways it did. I mean, he was freshman of the year in the AAC, but he was never, ever, ever going to be a guy that you ran anything for. And in fact, when they tried to do that, when they tried to give him read and react opportunities, it was a disaster on the offensive end. Jalen Duren is going to be a lot. He's a ton more polished than Musa was. And when you throw the ball into him, you don't have to worry about whether he's going to catch it or not. He's a great passer. He's just a better decision maker than Musa was at this stage. He's not going to be the shot blocker that Musa was. But I do think he can be an imposer just in a different way. It's just like with Moose, it was like you're going to get your shot blocked because he's just that big, you know, and that long. With Jalen Duren, it's like you're going to take a lick if you go in there. You know, you're gonna get hit.
Freshman of the year, him or Imani in the conference?
I would say Imani because I think the scoring usage is going to be there more so for Imani. I think they're going to be more infatuated with the 14 points a game, 15 points a game.
Than they are with double-doubles?
Well, if he averages a double-double, then that's a different conversation. I mean, I don't know if he will. I mean, I think it's more like
eight, nine rebound situation.
Yeah, like, you know, 8 and 8, 9 and 9.
More so not because he can't go get double-digit rebounds because of the time.
Let's talk about this. So, Imani, Lester, Landers, you know, Earl, assuming health. You're probably fifth in terms of, you know, where you come in on the scoring totem pole, right? I mean, you're going to have opportunities on misses, put back, but in terms of, like, your actual usage.
I think a lot of their, much like Houston last year, a lot of their best offense will be stick backs.
I'm sure it will.
Rebounds. With this inside game with him and DeAndre Williams?
Yeah. Oh, we didn't even mention DeAndre. So yeah, he's going to be fifth or sixth.
In the pecking order, the offensive pecking order.
In terms of, like, scoring opportunities, sheer raw scoring opportunities. His points will mostly come pick and roll, putbacks. He's just not going to get a lot of opportunities just to sort of, you know, cook the way that Imani and others are going to. So he'll be productive and he'll make an immediate difference. Like, and it's going to be mostly, I think, like we talked about, offensive rebounding. But scoring, I think that'll be kind of interesting to see how it shakes out.
All right, last one. Imani Bates, very short and very sweet on Imani Bates, says, does everything very well, very coachable, with an incredible work ethic.
Good to hear.
That's it.
Good to hear. And that's,
again, this is Jason Munns, Tigers B Rides for Commercial Appeal. You can go read it.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have put the whole thing out on the radio.
Yeah, I want to make sure that he gets the credit.
Yeah, it's a very interesting piece. Rob Hornet, strength and conditioning coach.
I love the name Hornet. That's a great strength and conditioning name.
Yep. So anyway, we're getting close to Memphis Madness is coming up, and then you'll have official practices going down, and the games will begin, and of course we'll be breaking it down all here on 92.9 FM ESPN. We'll come back, wrap this thing up on a Tuesday. Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN. Put me in the gun, I know what to all do. Year long, to Liberty Bowl. Make sure you find Blue Note Bourbon Bars. They're all throughout the Liberty Bowl all year long. Three locations where you can find them. Get yourself a fixin'. right behind the student section at gate 6, sections 115 and 116, and at the 50-yard line bar. Luna Bourbon is my go-to. It should be your go-to as well. Best bourbon for your buck in the city of Memphis. Crafted right here in Memphis. It is a Memphis drink. You get there, you taste it, you like it. You can find it all throughout the Memphis area. There is no better way to enjoy a game here in Memphis than with Memphis' own Blue Note Bourbon. Mix it with Coke, Blue Note Ginger, drink it neat, drink it on the rocks. All delicious every single time with Blue Note Bourbon. Keep the party going, tailgate with Blue Note all year long. So up at actionnetwork.com, Brett McMurphy is a new contributor to the Action Network. He has a piece about the spread, essentially. College football coaches and the spread. And he's talked to some coaches about, hey, like, are you aware of the spread? Do you know about it? And this is sort of the consensus. It all boils down to this. Any coach you talk to that says they don't know what the spread is, they are lying. How can you not know? It's on every pregame show. It is everywhere. I can 100% guarantee that every coach in the country knows the line to their game. Now, he also asked these coaches, do you intentionally try to cover? And one coach said, you think I'm going to risk losing my livelihood and job trying to cover spread because some booster may give me $100? I am not that stupid. He actually breaks this down, which is the most interesting piece to all of this. Every Division I coach, right, every FBS coach, and their record against the spread, ATS.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that goes for all the way SEC, Ryan Silverfield's on here, Butch Jones on here, everybody's on
Where's
here.
Where's the database that's all at?
There had to be some
that he just
real legwork
he didn't
done.
He didn't go look all that up, did he?
Yeah.
It's got to be a database somewhere that makes that easy to find.
They probably have an action researcher.
Bet Labs is what it says here, okay. and it's accurate as, of course, today. Uh-huh. The best coach against the spread in college football, believe it or not, is Sam Pittman at Arkansas.
Yeah, small sample size.
Yeah, small sample size. 10-3 against the spread, though.
Oh, 70, he's been fantastic.
77% against the spread. Number two, Hugh Freeze at Liberty. That does not shock me at all. He is 71% against the spread at Liberty.
Okay, so it's just his time at Liberty?
Just all these coaches' current stops.
Gotcha.
This is cool. Yeah.
Greg Schiano at Rutgers, 8-4 against the spread. Now, who's the worst? The worst is Tom Arth at Akron.
Well, I've never gotten that.
If you bet against Tom Arth against the spread at Akron,
yeah,
you will win 81% of the time.
Jeez.
Just bet against him.
Just bet against Akron, okay, whoever they're playing.
The Zips.
He is 4-17 against the spread.
Yikes.
Sean Clark at Appalachian State, 5-10, though he did cover the spread against Miami last week or the weekend before. Scott Leffler at Bowling Green, 7-13. Mike Norvell is the fifth worst.
Whoa.
Against the spread.
Mike is having a hard go, bro.
At Florida State. A lot of that's because, like, they lost Jacksonville State. They lost. They got their brains beat in by Wake Forest.
They're eyeing 2-10 here. I mean, that's what it's looking like.
Maybe if they're lucky, 2-10.
Yeah.
I mean, it looked like it could be 1-11.
Bro.
Where's Ryan Silverfield, Jason wants to know. You want to know?
Yeah, I want to know.
Ryan Silverfield is 6-8 against the spread at Memphis, 43%.
Okay.
That's not good. You know,
it's not great.
If you're a 43% better, you're losing money. That's not what anybody strives to be.
Got one this weekend.
Who else are you curious about?
Tell me about the great Sonny Dykes.
Ooh, Sonny Dykes.
Sonny Dykes at SMU
has got a fantastic transfer quarterback. I don't know if you've heard.
He is 18-18 at SMU.
Damn, solid 500. How about Mike Leach?
That's just even money for Sonny Dykes. My man, let me down.
Mike Leach.
6-8, 43% against the spread.
Yep.
Just like Ryan Silverfield.
Well, if Silverfield ain't good, neither is Mike Leach's.
Let's go through the SEC here really quickly. This stuff fascinates
you
me.
You're paying five for Mike, though. 1.75 for Silverfield.
Yeah.
Done with it.
We get LSU this week.
The second best coach against the spread in the SEC, we already established Sam Pittman is the best. Second best is Jimbo Fisher at 62%, 24-15.
So Nick's going to have too many games on this.
That's exactly right.
Yes.
That's exactly
right.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Lane Kiffin also 62%, but he's played fewer games than Jimbo, so Jimbo gets the
nod
here.
Nick, who did not cover versus Florida, by the way.
Nick Saban has by far. I think him and Kirk Ferentz,
Iowa.
They have about sort of the same number of games coached.
Uh-huh.
Now, Nick Saban, I will give it to him. He's 54.4% against the spread.
Wow. With that big sample, that's good.
Yeah. How many games is that is?
Kirk Ferentz is 144 and 121. I think he's got the most of anybody on this list.
Not bad there either.
He's 54% against the spread as well. Oh. But what that goes to show you is that the more games you play, right, the more you're probably going to be hovering around 50%. And so that's a lesson to all you degenerates out there. Nick Saban is one of the greatest of all time, okay?
Yeah.
Undeniably. And he still only covers the spread 54% of the time.
Learn that and then bet against that Akron coach.
Yes.
Which,
by the way, if you're 54%, you are barely making money. You're making money, but just barely. This is up at actionnetwork.com. Ed Orgeron, 60% against the spread. Pretty good. All the coaches are broken out here. It's very interesting stuff. That's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Jeff Calkins for joining us on the show today, and thanks to Jessica Benson for hopping on as well. Gino and Jeffrey up next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.